With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are excited to share a conversation with longtime Washington Capitals radio voice, one of my favorites to listen to. He's epic. John Walton. I had a chance to catch up with him recently, and we started with the big week it was for the NHL. John, what was your reaction to seeing what Commissioner Gary Bettman and the front office put out there?
Well, first of all, I like that the NHL was taking a pretty strong lead in returning to play and doing it in the safest way possible and getting out front of it as much as anyone can in these sorts of times. I think that the commissioner said it as well as anyone could have. Look, everybody, no matter what team you are, there's probably something that you don't like about the plan. But the fact that there is a plan is a good thing. And 24 teams have a chance. There are certainly some teams like a Montreal or Chicago where, you know, they probably weren't going to be part of the postseason, but now they have a chance. Now you've got 24 cities that are engaged. You certainly have, depending on what happens with baseball, and, you know, there's certainly been some ups and downs in those negotiations, you may have a pretty wide berth to have a pretty big audience watching your product. So I think first and foremost, getting back and doing it safely, but I think for all teams involved, just to get back to something close to, it certainly isn't normal, but at least playing games, at least having a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. It's what everyone in this business strives to do. And now you've got a chance to do that if all goes well post July 10th.
I'll be honest, when I saw that date, July 10th, I was a little taken aback because after getting the return to play plan, I was thinking, okay, phase one, phase two is about getting guys back in for individual workouts, which a lot of other teams and other sports are already doing, baseball and basketball. And then I see this July 10th before they can ever get to the point where they're doing their quote unquote training camp. Does that date surprise you?
It surprised me a little only because when the commissioner first made the announcement, and in fairness, he did say at least July 1st before players can get back into what would be organized groups, phase two, on the ice practice with coaches, et cetera. And then within a couple of days, we heard July 10th. And okay, well, July 10th means that you really can't expect to have any games before August.
Right.
This is going to be a three-week process. To ramp up, to have at least one or two, I don't know if we can call them preseason games, let's call them practice games, before you're back and playing in the play-in round, if you're Washington, if these mini qualifying series, if you're outside of the top four, that is the beginning of August. So you're going to have to, in the whole month, you probably can do the qualifying round, the first round, and part of the second. But then you're looking at, all right, third and fourth round, best of sevens, a little bit. We're not sure if it's best of five or best of seven yet in the first couple of rounds. But you're into the third round. Now it's September. And you could have a scenario where you might really have some hockey weather by the time the Stanley Cup champion is crowned. It might be October. It might be when you'd be going normally. So obviously everything for next season is going to be pushed back. You're looking at maybe January has even been kicked around, and the commissioner certainly didn't refute that and said anything's possible. So you've got a long way to go till this season is over, and then an even longer wait maybe until a regular season for next year could be underway. And again, this is stressing that it has to be, everything has to go right. There may be some flies in the ointment and a hitch and a giddy up along the way. But if as long as everything goes well, I think that's sort of the plan that I think they're working with.
John Walton is the very recognizable voice of the Washington Capitals, one of our favorites, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. John, you've had a chance to do different video calls and fun interactions with some of the players with the Capitals. How are they hanging in?
Well, best that I know remotely on a Zoom call. They seem fine. We did a cooking show with Jake Vrana and Jonas Siegenthaler, which was kind of fun. Those guys have some pretty good cooking skills, so I learned something about them I probably wouldn't have known otherwise. I've done some things with Peter Bondra, who's still very much within the organization on the business side, and talking about his career. And something we did that was really fun during this time and needed, you know, in our community, and I'm sure every community, the food banks at this time are really hit hard and in need of support.
Right.
And we were doing video shout outs to fans for small donations through Cameo, where you could have us, you know, wish, you know, Mother's Day or a birthday or a graduation that didn't happen or a prom that didn't happen. We've done all of them, and some of them even words of encouragement for some of the frontline people like nurses and first responders, and those are always pretty emotional. But we raised more than $10,000 just by, you know, sitting on our backsides and talking to fans, which was, you know, it was great for us to have something to do and, you know, to be able to have that engagement with fans and to be able to, you know, help those who really need it in the D.C. area was a good thing. And it caught on a little bit, too, in New York and Minneapolis, St. Paul, and a couple of other cities where there were similar initiatives. So, yeah, really, really happy to, if you've got the time, try and do the best you can with it. And hopefully we've done that.
With the end of the regular season, in essence, the Washington Capitals clinch a fifth straight division title. First time in the franchise history. It's been an incredible run, of course, with the Stanley Cup championship in the mix as well. What is the key to the consistency for the Capitals?
Well, Alex Ovechkin's a good start, and the stretch that he's had in that 5 years going back to when Barry Trotz was in Washington, and now Todd Reardon has followed up with you know, a couple of his own since Barry left for the Islanders. It's been a core in the top six that will go down in Caps history as probably the best top six they've ever had. When you've got Alex, who will have his not only his number in the rafters when it's all over, but a unanimous potentially a Hall of Fame first time out. Nick Backstrom, in my mind, is a Hall of Famer, too. And I don't know that people outside of Washington may be thinking along those lines yet, but I think they will be by the time that his numbers are done. And having won a Stanley Cup now certainly adds to that resume. TJ Oshie and all of his popularity and goal-scoring abilities, that's a pretty good part of your top six. Throw in Tom Wilson, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Jacob Vrana, who's been tremendous and is certainly a legitimate NHL top six now. There's no holes there. There's not a lot of holes either at this point in the bottom six. Ilya Kovalchuk coming over right before the deadline, slotted in pretty nicely on the third line, and I put Richard Panik on the fourth line. They're with a healthy team, and that's what we would expect going into the postseason. That'd be fine. I think there's still some questions on defense. They had a pretty uneven year in that core. The goaltending at the time of the pause with Braden Holtby was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But the forwards are those are the success points, and I think that's been going on by and large for a long time here, and hence the reason five in a row.
I will ask you the same question about Alex. You mentioned him as being the key to the consistency for the franchise. He really sets the tone. But, you know, after the shortened season, he once again is tied for the most goals, 48 of them in the shortened season. What's the key to his consistency personally?
I think he's had such an incredible career. But I think when you look at what he has done in this five-year span, and really since the team won, you know, his captaincy he got at a young age, and he had to grow into the role. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but he has, and I don't know that people outside of Washington really have the true sense of the leader he's become, and I think that's translated to now at age 34, going to be 35 in September. We used to say that was training camp. I think that might be in the middle. He might have a birthday in the middle of the playoffs, which he never would have anticipated. But that's, you know, as he gets older, he is taking his training very seriously. He's had a personal trainer, his personal trainer, with him in quarantine at his house during this time. He has certainly not taken his foot off the gas, despite 80 days away or whatever it's been at this point. You see the work ethic from him, and he expects that of his teammates. And I think after winning and after knowing what it takes to win four playoff series in a single spring into early summer, he wants to get back and do it again. It's certainly not going to bother him if it's at a pod in September. He wants to raise the cup again and continue to add to his legacy. I think that's only made him stronger as a player.
John Walton is the voice of the Washington Capitals on their radio network and also part of NHL on NBC. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The last two Stanley Cup runs, really the finals, have been phenomenal. So last year, the St. Louis Blues winning their first in franchise history and doing it in Game 7 on the road, and then going back to the Capitals. And what an incredible, just an incredible breakthrough for them. I know the city really embraced it. I was on the air. It was a Thursday night. I was on the air doing my show right after they won the cup. And I just remember seeing all night long the various videos and social media posts of Ovechkin and some of the other Capitals in Vegas out with the cup. It was just such an experience to watch. John, what will you remember? Some of the moments, the memories from that experience, that last clinching game and then that week that followed.
A lot. And there's so many different things. It's a tough thing to answer, I suppose. Vegas itself and being on the ice. I mean, having been a kid that grew up in Minnesota and watched, you know, the North Stars, yeah, they got to a final once, but they were escorted from the premises pretty early by the Islanders at my youngest age. And getting back and a chance with getting to a final in 1991 against Pittsburgh, where, quite frankly, they didn't have any business being there. They got hot at the right time. And after a very subpar regular season, managed to find their way there only to get Mario'd by the Penguins in the beginning of what's now five championships in Pittsburgh. So, you know, for me, I'd watch that on the ice every year, and, you know, I wanted to, you know, be a part of an organization that got to do that. So being on the ice and being down there, which we were, and my partner Ken Sabourin was too, and getting to raise the cup over your head on the ice in that atmosphere is just it's true. It weighs 35 pounds, but it weighs nothing in those moments. And then just leaving the arena that night, flying back, seeing the embrace of the city, being on the mall. There were 750,000 people on the mall in Washington. And for those who live here, we are obviously a political town. We see a lot of things that happen on the mall. And whether it's a cause you believe in or a cause you don't, anything that goes on the mall usually has somebody upset about something,
right,
or wanting change for something. This may be the first time in city history where there were that many people who were just deliriously happy and seeing that outpouring of red and the Washington Monument in the background and the Capitol behind us. It was an extraordinary period, and being able to be around the cup during the summer and various cup parties around town, it never stopped being surreal. I would love to have that moment again. I would love to, once you do it once, you figure, hey, we finally did it. It's like, hey, you get to the next year. It's like, yeah, let's do that again. That was really fun. So, maybe Washington gets another chance to do that. But it was an unforgettable 2 months. It was an unforgettable final, and it was an unforgettable summer. And I think one in D.C. history that'll be remembered long after we're all gone.
We still use the Alex Ovechkin yelling, the roars, both from the ice when he picked up the cup for the first time, and then from the victory parade where he was so funny, and we drop clips in all the time. That has got to be, as you talk about, an incredible 2 months, but that week has got to be one of my favorites in sports history because of how much he reveled in it. The relief, the thrill, just the euphoria. You could almost live it through him because of how expressive and emotional he was.
You really felt everybody, even if you're not a Caps fan, and even if, unless you were perhaps a Pittsburgh fan or a division rival, perhaps, maybe you didn't view it in that lens. But I think for everyone else in hockey and just watching the emotion, this is a guy who, in any radio interview that any of us ever did up until 2018, or any television interview, the question will always come up, gosh, Alex Ovechkin's a really good player. The Capitals have a really good team. But the regular season really doesn't mean much because they guys never win in the playoffs. And no one ever, I mean, in every interview he ever did, especially in Toronto and Montreal, and every question would be something like that. And I remember after we won, the first time we went back to Montreal, and Alex facing the media and just smiling. And I had been around him enough to know that this was a moment that he truly enjoyed, if for no other reason, that these are the same people who would always ask him, oh, gosh, you know, dinner when it comes. So, and a lot of times, you know, he'd get, you know, he'd answer the questions, but he, you know, just would walk away and that would be that. He stood in there and said, what, that's it? Okay, great. You got anything else? Great. Okay. Just one question after the other. And smiling because that question wasn't being asked anymore. And, you know, I think that was a huge burden off him. I think it was a huge burden off the city, the franchise, the fan base. It was something that had followed this team. They were the team. They were the poster child for the team that couldn't get it done. And then they did. And once they did, everything changed around here forever.
And what a great run it's been for DC Sports over the last couple of years, too. So maybe that opened up Pandora's box. You can find John on Twitter at Walton Caps, the voice of the Washington Capitals. Would love to hear your broadcast, John. Glad you're doing well. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
No, Amy, it's good to be with you. And hopefully that happens sometime late summer. Why not? We'll give it a shot.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.